All right, guys, let's talk Atlanta United with the guy who calls the games, Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United, brought to you by Heineken. Great taste, zero alcohol. And, Jason, we appreciate you jumping on with us coming off of the weekend. Mike and I have been talking about this match, and certainly we want to get your take on it. 2-1 loss. Dallas with the goal in you know, the six-minute mark, 6 minutes into this match. And Mike said it kind of took the air out of things, and I would agree with that. But the bigger thing for us is possession. We continue to own possession, but we're not scoring. Is there a reason for it? What is going on with our inability to score goals right now?
Right now, look, people are really worked up about the word possession, that it's a bad thing. It's not. Having the ball is not a bad thing. The biggest issue is what you started with. You conceded in the 6th minute. You can't give up goals this early, and this has been a recurring issue this season. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's given up early goals on the road in Costa Rica. They gave up an early goal on the road in Columbus. They gave up an early goal at home Saturday. You can't concede goals in the first 10 minutes of matches and expect to win very many. You know, it's the numbers bear that out in whatever league you're looking at around the world. When you concede first, and especially when you concede early, chances are you're not getting 3 points out of that. And from there on, you're fighting uphill. It makes Dallas's life a whole lot easier because they're able to come in, and they already had a game plan to come in and sit back and defend, which caught everyone by surprise. Lucio Gonzalez, their manager, hadn't shown that yet out of this group. But they sat back, defended. You get the early goal. It just makes it that much easier to do. And, yeah, Atlanta's going to have a lot of the possession in that regard because Dallas doesn't really care to fight for it. They're going to sit and defend. Atlanta still created more shots than any match other than two in Atlanta United history. A lot of shots on goal. You couldn't beat Jesse Gonzalez, and you come out of there losing 3 points.
It is our man Jason Longshore, guys, at Longshoe on Twitter if you want to throw some questions about United at him. We're winless at home. We're worst as far as a goal scored in the entire MLS. The good news is we get a team which hasn't won a game yet in Colorado coming to town. But again, we felt that way about Cincinnati. They're better than expected as an expansion team. But, I mean, is this going to be the tonic? I mean, we're running out of excuses, Jason, because I know – I guess the one thing I keep coming back to is you traded Garza. It made sense. But then, of course, now you get more injuries with Escobar being hurt, and then you lose Bello. So is that why we're having these deficiencies? We're giving up those kind of goals?
Yeah, it's an issue. I mean, defensively, for me, it's individual mistakes. And this has been the problem, honestly, going back to that Herediano match. Leandro Gonzalez Pires has made some very uncharacteristic mistakes. And in this match on Saturday, for me, and it was highlighted on Twitter by MLSsoccer.com writer Matt Doyle, talking about the pressing from Atlanta and that it was a problem in this match. I actually thought in the first half, Atlanta pressed pretty well and took Dallas out of their game of being able to build out of the back. The one goal, it wasn't the press that was the issue. It was the decision to go to ground on a tackle at midfield.
And he misses
when
it.
You don't need to.
Right.
Yeah, because when you miss it, you're out of the play. Then Michael Barrios is going to outrun everybody, and you're scrambling. And there's no need for that in the 6th minute. It's a desperation play. Probably feeling that pressure a little bit because of the results. And too risky for that moment.
He's a little bit of a loose cannon. I mean, can we say that? I mean, the tactics with what we've seen and what you're describing, that's what I said to Mike today. And, you know, with all due respect, I think he's a very good player, but he's cost us.
This season he has. And that's what's surprising about it to me is that loose cannon, that, you know, fiery side of him has been really good at times for this team. You need some of that personality on the field. But there's a time and a place, and in that moment where you're trying to feel the game out, you're seeing where it is, you're controlling possession, you're fine in that moment, and you just don't need to risk it in that moment because his slide, he blocks Larinowicz. When you go back and look at this on video,
right,
he has Michael Barrios facing Dallas's own goal at midfield in his own half. There's nothing, there's no problem there. Jeff Larinowicz is coming in to double down. You've got it contained. Barrios turns to the outside, to the touchline. Let him go out there. Take him out there. Run him out there. Shepherd him out wide. But when you go to ground, it creates the opening for Barrios to hit Ferrer on the pass, and then you're in trouble.
We talked about it as Jason Longshore joins us here, guys. Barco, again, you had everything but the goals. I mean, we've got to finish. And I know that, you know, percentages and chances. To me, it's like either you score the goal or you don't, Jason. I mean, it's like trying to, you know, I hate to sound like the cliche with the, you know, horseshoes and hand grenade crap, but that's what it comes down to. Either you can score or you can't. Will we start to finish?
You have to. And one problem is when you're looking to Ezekiel Barco as the guy who's going to create the most chances and score those goals, that's not his role. He's the one who's creating the chances, and he did. He created seven of them in this match. That's one of the highest numbers you've seen in an Atlanta United shirt in club history. He also had five shots of his own. He hit the bar twice. He had two saves. He's not the big goal scorer in this team. He's the creator. Joseph Martinez had another frustrating day in front of goal. It happens to every goal scorer. It's a really bad time for it right now. But Julian Gressel, Tito Villalba were also up front and really didn't get much going forward in the way of creating chances or shots on goal either.
When does Pity Martinez get back to giving you the start and, you know, going deep in a game or giving you 90 minutes?
It's got to be soon. He looked much better in this one, in my opinion. He created four chances coming into the match in the second half. His chip into Joseph Martinez is a world-class play. And again, it's one that's going to be lost because Joseph pushed the shot wide. Another one of those moments that you're just like, this doesn't seem like the Joseph we've seen before. He pushes it wide, but the chip from Pity against a defense that is sitting back deep, those are the types of moments of brilliance you have. Pity gave you that. Joseph didn't convert on the end.
It is Jason Longshore, guys. He's brought to you by Heineken each and every week here on Dukes and Bell. And remember, great taste, zero alcohol. What do you think about where Parkey's playing? This is another topic of conversation we've been having. You know, I think with his age and are we using him and utilizing his skill set at this point in his career to really help our club? Does this matter? Because I keep getting asked the question, is he out of position?
Well, who else is going to play that position right now with Franco Escobar not ready to start? That's the problem. Is there isn't anybody else. And Parkhurst was not the issue in this match.
No, not at all.
I think a lot of times it's easy, and you go back to the two goals, and I've seen people throw blame at Parkhurst and Shea in these situations. You know, they're the outside backs who are chasing. The mistake's already been made. Mm. It's not on Parkhurst there. It's on the mistake that led to the break. That's what can't happen anymore. Parkhurst at right back was a necessity because Escobar can't start. I thought Parkhurst was able to do some things in this match that probably no one else could have done from that position.
Right.
Once Dallas decides to drop deep, what Parkhurst started doing, it was really interesting, was tucking inside and playing next to Jeff Larinowicz in front of the two center backs. That made it harder for Dallas to counter, and they didn't get a ton of counter opportunities because Parkhurst was in a good position there. He also got forward and created things. He did fine. He did fine in his role. It's not his job going forward to play right back.
It is Jason Longshore, guys, as I'm watching the highlights again from Atlanta United's website here and watching Barco hit the post again. Man, it's so exasperating. The thing is, I guess maybe in the case of Breck Shea, the reputation precedes him. And I know that
of course.
And look, and I get it because I think in the Ariano match that was up at Fifth Third Bank, he gave great service. He was part of an attack. To me, it just as a fan, I think the ball goes the other way. It's going backwards when he's getting it.
Yeah, the thing about the crossing, and Shea was part of it, and Gressel was part of it in this one as well. This is something we've talked about in previous years, about Atlanta at times when you play against a stacked defense that's going to sit deep, they resort to crossing too much. And you're not going to find a whole lot of success crossing to Joseph Martinez against three center backs. It's just not. I mean, Dallas was bracketing him for the most part. One center back in front, one behind. You're just boxing him in. You're looking for the absolute perfect needle in a haystack type of cross. And it's just not likely. You had 18 crosses in this game, and that's not where you want this team to be. You have to break things down through the middle, and you have to get more numbers forward to do that. However, when you do that, you are exposing a potential for a counterattack.
Looking ahead to Colorado, you know, what do we expect there? Because, again, we had plenty of chances, couldn't convert against FC Dallas. What about Colorado?
What you're going to see out of Colorado is a team that will try to do some of the things Dallas did in the way of sitting back and putting numbers behind the ball. They don't have as much speed going forward. They don't have a Michael Barrios who can flip the field with the ball at his feet. They have Kai Kamara, who is a dangerous forward still in this league, even in his mid-30s, one of the all-time leading scorers in league history. He can score off of set pieces, off of crosses. You have to limit those opportunities for him to be effective. the thing about Colorado is they don't have any confidence either, and they don't have any confidence defensively because they've given up just a ton of goals this season. They're going to try to rectify that with just bodies behind the ball. Atlanta has to break them down. This is the kind of game that you want Pitty Martinez in from the start, and you want him to beat people off the dribble. You want Barco to continue doing what he's doing, and you want to try to get some service to Joseph Martinez and get him off the board.
The 4-4-1-1, was I right? Is that what they were doing? That's what it looked like. Is that just about because what Dallas presents? Will we see more of that against Colorado?
Yeah, Dallas was a little more in a 5-4-1 or 5, honestly, 5-2-1-2, if you want to get real tricky about it. They had a line of five, three center backs, and their wing backs just sat really deep. Colorado, the big question this week on them is their defensive midfielder, Jack Price, was red carded late in their 4-1 loss over the weekend. They don't have a ready-made replacement, and I want to see what Anthony Hudson decides to do there. Does he decide to play two holding midfielders in front, or does he just go completely 5-4-1 and just sit back with Kamara up top?
Jason, it's always good to have you on, man. Appreciate you as always. Jason, brought to you by Heineken. We will talk later in the week and more about Atlanta United's next matchup against Colorado. Thanks again, Jason.
Appreciate it, guys.